flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Doug Harsh, Gator out today. 248-539-9797. Championship Sunday. We spent a good portion of time on the first 2 hours of the show talking about, as Lions fans, I bet a lot of people in Detroit sat back and watched yesterday completely differently. And understandably so, given that, you know, we have the proper credentials, deserve a seat at the table, and just weren't there. But it's really, really difficult to watch these. I found it really difficult to watch these games with the same level of enjoyment that I had in the past. Because there was a disassociation with, you know, it being something that it was certainly deserved by our team. And we do deserve it. We're good enough to play in that game. NFC title game, we're good enough to play in the Super Bowl. Hasn't happened yet. You got to do it on the field, I guess, is really proving you're good enough. But on paper, they're certainly good enough. And so it's maybe a little bit more difficult from a standpoint of trying to just watch football games and enjoy them when we're not involved. Football games of this magnitude, I found it that way. I went through the motions yesterday. Games were on, but wasn't the same. Heart wasn't in it. Harder to enjoy, I guess, is a better way to put it. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, we do it every Monday. Pistons, game with the Cavs tonight. Now, this is a measuring stick game when you are the Pistons. The Cavs probably won't come at it with the same intensity if this were a playoff matchup. It could be two teams that face each other in the postseason at some point. Cleveland, that team that got off to a 15-0 start, is still the best team in the East by a handful of games. Like, I think they're 4.5 up on Boston. But, and this goes back to, are the Pistons getting them at a bad time or a good time? The Cavs have lost 3 in a row, and they're 3-5 in their last 8. And of the 5 losses, they've given up over 130 points 3 times. 3 times. That's one of the absolute worst defensive teams in the NBA. Actually, over the last 6, they'd be right at the bottom. Now, sometimes that's not a good time, like, to get a team. In fact, I think Cleveland's going to look at tonight as a get-right game. They've won 10 straight over Detroit. They're used to beating Detroit. And the Pistons coming off a frustrating loss, but it could be a galvanizing, another one of those losses that, you know, really brings the team closer. It was a physical game. There were 7 technical fouls. JB Bickerstaff was ejected in that Orlando game. And it was funny, man. Kang, I think we did a decent job lip reading today because the broadcast had a bunch of tight shots of JB, who went into full mock mode of that ref. He was mocking the ref, clapping for him, saying to him, good job. in between good job, this is what we were able to figure out. He said, reading his lips, "Oh, that's awful," followed by a mock clap of the official. "That's terrible. That's bull crap. Hey, blank you. Hey, go blank yourself." And then added in, "Good job." I found it all hysterical. And good for you, JB. Good for you. So now as we sit here for this game tonight, if the Pistons win it, okay, to me, there is no doubt that the Pistons, this means a ton to them. They will look at this game as a chance to prove themselves. There is almost no way that'll be looked at the same way by Cleveland. But I'm actually kind of glad they've lost three in a row, because you know what I think that means? I think it means that it will be a team that isn't going to go through the motions. They are a team that's trying to get right, stop this losing streak, and they can specifically discuss and look to correct things defensively. And which means I think Detroit's going to get an effort from them. They're going to get an effort from Cleveland. So while it isn't a desperate game for Cleveland to try and prove something, I think without question for Detroit, desperate's maybe a strong term, but I think Detroit's trying to prove something tonight. So I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Who would have thought that, you know, on January, what is it, 27th?
Yep.
We'd be saying, pretty big game, Pistons-Cavs tonight.
Yep.
And that's more than what I could have asked for when the season started. I wanted improvement. I wanted development. I wanted to see what kind of core the Pistons really have. I think I've gotten all those questions pretty much, you know, headed in the right direction for me at least. And tonight is a big game. I think, I don't care if the Cavs have been struggling. Good. Get on top of them. You know, keep that struggle bus going for the Cavs. They're playing the best basketball in the East right now. They're the one seed for a reason. They started this. I forgot what their streak was. I think it went like 20-0 or something to start the year. And incredible. This is where you kind of want to separate yourself from that 6, 7, 8, 9 seed, right? Because they're all bunched together. And if you show you can beat a team like the Cavs, I think you show, hey, we can get to that 4, 5 and separate ourselves from the rest. Because what you really want to do is avoid the play-in game. You don't want to be the 7, 8, 9, 10 seed. You want to get a real playoff spot, and that's the 6 seed or higher.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Eddie. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Doug. Good morning. Hey, thanks. Or good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I watched it cover to cover. Okay.
Watch what?
And I
the football.
Look, for me, yeah. Okay. Yeah, football yesterday. I watched it cover to cover. I wanted it to burn in my retinas. Okay. And I hope the guys, the players, everybody in the organization watched it too. Really, they need to walk into next year, and it's just, I mean, we are in a spot where we're ready to go. I know it hurts, but there was such glaring play, playing that happened yesterday. All four teams had some sort of assembly of a pass rush, which we did not have at all for probably 16 straight weeks of the season. So if we can get to a place where our starters from this end of the year become our true backups, and we can get our starters back, and we can get that defense up into playing the way that it's supposed to be playing. I mean, like you said before, this is the best roster in football, and the whole losing the Ben Johnson thing, that's fine, because Green Bay and Minnesota have to deal with the same guy too. And we already went through a gauntlet with Minnesota. So I don't know. Like, I think it's kind of a wash, because he's going to target those two teams just like he's going to target us. So I am so ready for the season already. Last year, it probably took me 2 months to get ready for it. I'm ready right now. And like, I'm going to be that geek that looks at every single blog and every single free agent, because I'm telling you right now, and I'll go on a shoot the boot if you want me to, but we're going to win the Super Bowl next year. That's guaranteed.
I got to tell you, Eddie. Look, I appreciate your enthusiasm and you know, channeling the frustration is probably a very healthy thing to do. I'm not going to go. We're not going to make you shoot the boot or anything like that. They're in a great spot. They really are. They're in a really, really good spot. Is it where they want to be? No. Do they have a chance to? Should they be back in the mix next year? Yeah, the roster's really, really good. You got to see what everybody does in the postseason, but there is no denying that bringing back all that they should bring back in terms of just getting healthy, and if they have a normal injury year and not a historic injury year, they should be right in the mix without question.
As soon as Aiden Hutchinson steps on the field, that makes Anzalone that much better. It makes Derek Barnes that much better. It makes guys like Branch and Joseph that much better. I'll tell you, Branch was a not. I mean, you can look at it. He was a pretty big disappointment. Halfway through the year, he wasn't making big plays, and then I took a step back and I'm like, he wasn't even in spots to make big plays. He had to cover guys he wasn't supposed to. So this whole thing really relies upon building that defensive line up and getting guys, and it's a health thing. But if Aiden can come back and play even a quarter what he was on a historic defensive player of the year. I mean, there's a stat out there that he led the Lions with sacks, and he was injured in week 5. So, look, I'll tell you this much. I'm betting the house on Aiden winning the comeback player of the year and the defensive player of the year. If anyone knows that guy and that how that guy's motor is, he's going to come out and destroy people next year.
I got to love Eddie's commitment to making bets. He wants to shoot the boot guarantee they win the Super Bowl. He wants to bet the house that Aiden will win player of the year. I'm not saying you need to make yourself familiar with the number. I don't know what you do, but the phone number. But he wants to make bets, doesn't he?
Big, tall buildings in the desert.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. Like, I hope all the stuff he says is true, but I'm sure there's some guy in Philly guaranteeing Jalen Carter is going to win the defensive player of the year and, you know, all this stuff next year.
You hope everything that he predicts comes true.
Yeah, for the Lions, for
our sake.
Sure.
I don't need my man betting the house on Aiden Hutchinson winning defensive player of the year.
Yeah, you can feel confident and do what you want to do with your money, but you know, and drink beer out of whatever you want to drink it out of. But
that's like
slow down a little bit.
He wants to make the point. I'm going to back up what I say.
Sure. I mean,
I appreciate my man's commitment.
The Lions have never even been to a Super Bowl, but
don't get carried away.
Yeah. Brian Branch has not been a disappointment. He didn't make he didn't fill up the stat sheet that you want to, but he also got made. He got selected to his first Pro Bowl ever, so I think the league recognized he was a pretty good player this year. The stat out there, quote-unquote, is, yes, Aiden Hutchinson still leads this team in sacks. That's been the case since the day he broke his leg on the field. No one has overtaken him in sacks on the Lions team. There's going to be attrition. You're right, though. The historic attrition is what really killed the defense. They could not get pressure. They could not stop anyone. And the key turnovers that were kind of keeping them in games and winning games, like Kirby Joseph leading the league in picks, they didn't happen against the Commanders, you know? And I put it up as the dam finally broke. That leak finally happened. And, you know, we didn't think it could because they had won 15 games, got the number one seed with all these injuries continuing to rack up every week. But if they come back healthier, yeah, they're right in the mix with everybody else. And that's what you really want is a shot at this thing.
Champ and Chump, get your votes in. Carson Anderson, Gator out sick today, 97.1. Doug Harsh, Gator out today. Oh, we're in a weird place. Weird, weird place. And that's the Lions have taken the fun out of Championship Sunday for me because it feels like they should be in that game. And just watching it for the purity of the excitement of that day is now lost on me. Games were on. I was going through the motions. But, you know, not everybody's different, but it was a weird day for me. I wanted it to be everything it had been in the past. which was an exciting, great day of sports. And what I ended up feeling was empty. It was an empty feeling. And then there was just the sheer annoyance. I bottomed out during NFL Network's pregame. Like the one guy who called up, I think it was our last caller, said he watched everything cover to cover. I tried. I had the NFL Network's pregame show on at 10 a.m. But at sometime in the 11 o'clock hour, they went to live shots from the parking lot at Lincoln Financial Field and from the tailgates outside of GEHA Stadium in Kansas City. And what it did was make me mad, because what I got to see was Philly hosting another NFC title game that I just couldn't escape. That's supposed to be ours. And no, we didn't win the game. You got to do the work. I understand that. But as the one seed, it was really, really difficult to watch somebody else that was benefiting so much from our loss, somebody other than the team that beat Detroit. And the Eagles fans got to celebrate again. And then they went to Kansas City, and I'm like, you guys do this every year. Screw you. That's when I bottomed out.
So, like, for you, obviously, it hurt both games. Like, you never got it back for the AFC game? Because I did. No. Like, the NFC game was what hurt me. The AFC game didn't affect me as much because the Lions weren't going to play in the AFC Championship game. It had nothing to do with the Bills.
Would have been very difficult.
Yes.
For them.
I think they would have been some kind of record, I think, yeah. Doug. But, yeah, but the fact that it was the Bills, the Chiefs, I got ramped back up because Mahomes-Allen is a great matchup. I was okay for the most part watching that. It was only the NFC title game that bothered me, where in the middle of the first quarter, I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. This should be at Ford Field. Oh, so they're doing the, they brought the Fox crew here. Where would they have broadcast it at Ford Field? You know, things like that started to enter my mind.
Yep.
But it was only the NFC title game. And once we went over to AFC, I was back to watching football.
Let's get back to your open line calls. Champ and Chump, we talked a little bit about the Pistons as well. Piston fans, look, this is a big game. This is a big game tonight against Cleveland. Are they catching Cleveland at the right time? I think Cleveland's going to come out and throw a big punch at the beginning of this game. In the NBA, everybody makes a run. I think Detroit will. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Pistons fall behind early, come back and win this game tonight. 248-539-9797. Jay is in White Lake and on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jay.
Fellas, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'd like to share a fairly interesting and exciting thing that happened to me yesterday. I really frustrated going into the first game. I didn't watch any pregame, nothing. I just turned it on. All right, here we go. And, in my feelings, going through everything with the Lions, you know, like I felt like I should scrapbook it or something. But then about 5:45 last night, I started getting this, like, really unreasonable hatred going for Patrick Mahomes again, as I do every year. And by the time, and I'm a Josh Allen fan to begin with, so I was excited to see him. And by the time the game started, I'm like, everything wrong in the world is Patrick Mahomes' fault. Like they screwed up a pizza like a week ago from a pizza delivery place. It was Patrick Mahomes' fault. Like I am like wildly unreasonable, unhealthy hatred for this guy. But it made me enjoy the heck out of the game. And when I say enjoy, I mean like anxiety and frustration and all that stuff. But enjoy it like I enjoy a game of this magnitude normally, even though the Lions weren't in it. So I guess at the end of the day, I got to thank Patrick Mahomes for getting me fired up enough to enjoy the second game, like really enjoy it.
I got to tell you, this is an interesting approach. And probably for you, it works in the moment. I don't know if it's going to work for everybody, but I don't know if there's anything funnier said on this program today, or will there be anything funnier said than Patrick Mahomes was the problem with everything in the world. It was his fault.
Well, like I said, it's totally unreasonable, but I'm just, I'm admitting it and opening up about it. And today, I all I can think about is the fact that the Lions should have been in it. But at the moment, man, I was in it. I just wanted to see the Bills truck stick that guy. And it's like, get him. It was kind of insane.
Well, you can channel Jay. You can channel that emotion in the Super Bowl because Patrick Mahomes will be there again. Monty's in Belleville and on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Monty.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yesterday was an interesting day because I was just super busy throughout the day and evening, so I didn't get a chance to fully focus on the games. But, you know, I am a fan of football, and I was interested to see how Washington was going to do considering they beat us. But I think the reality kicked in that it would have been probably a 100-point score game if we would have had our running backs running the way Saquon was running, or we would have got ran all over because of all the defensive injuries that we had suffered. Because it definitely would have been an even playing field, no elements inside. And in regards for Kansas City, I've always liked Andy Reid as a coach, thinking back to all those years that he kept going to the NFC Championship and losing and trying to get to the Super Bowl. So good for him. He finally got a team and a quarterback, and, you know, he has a chance to build a dynasty.
Yeah, I wish I could channel that kind of positive attitude about it. That would excite me, but it doesn't. As far as the Philly thing, look, Detroit played teams and offenses, really good offenses this year, and beat them. What they didn't do against teams like San Francisco and Green Bay and Minnesota is turn the ball over. Like, you know, I'm not buying into they wouldn't have beat Philly anyway. And the reason I'm not buying it is because they helped Washington beat him. They didn't help San Francisco beat him, and they didn't help Green Bay beat him or Minnesota beat him in all those games. And those were really, really, really good offensive teams. So they could have beat Philly. They certainly could have beat Philly. Now, every time you level up, it gets harder. You know, you make it to the NFC title game, the opponent is probably going to be tougher. You get to the Super Bowl, the opponent is probably going to get tougher. It's not like it would have been easy, but they beat really good offenses with a depleted defense all season long because they just got a stop or two and they didn't turn it over. And this time on this particular day, they just turned it over way too much.
Like, I personally don't think they would have beat Philly, but they definitely could have, and I would have loved to seen the opportunity to do that. You know, and I thought they should have beat the Commanders. I mean, we could talk about the turnovers, the defense, all that stuff. The Commanders were the better team that day. It was shocking. You know, you're the one seed going in. You're playing at home. I was gutted, disappointed, didn't expect it. Had they found a way to beat the Commanders, yeah, I would have gave the Lions a shot, though, at beating the Eagles, even if I didn't think they necessarily were going to. But it wouldn't have been shocking because they've been doing it all year long. And that's kind of what I was buying into as well, as far as the fact that the offense was elite, was they were writing their own script. No one can write it for them. Dan Campbell says it all the time. You know, they go out there and they decide it.
I don't know if this is what he was getting at, but this is not, for me, an effective coping mechanism.
Yeah,
no, they wouldn't have beat Philly anyway. That's... That can be an effective coping mechanism. And again, for the people it's working for, good for you, because you're probably doing better today than I am, but it doesn't really work for me because I thought they could beat anybody. And, you know, there are just no guarantees they would have won. I mean, I think you want to be so good that every time you take the field, there's no doubt you're winning the game. No matter what happens, you're winning the game. And that's probably, for the most part, not realistic. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Harshgater out today. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get those votes in. A whole bunch of it coming in, and we'll get caught up on votes here in a minute. In the meantime, you know, there's weird coping mechanisms that we all have. And the fact is, you know, it's a different feel when your football team's really, really good. And don't make no mistake about it. And the disappointment doesn't cloud rational judgment that this is still a really damn good football team. And so It makes it a little bit different, though, when you watch these games and have to kind of cope with the fact that as a team that belongs, not being there makes it harder to appreciate what it was a Sunday I used to really appreciate. Let's go to Kevin and Warren. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good afternoon, Doug.
What's up?
Hey, I'm at the point where I'm waxing philosophical now.
Yep, me too.
I'm going to preface this. Yeah, but philosophically different, and I think, from where we're coming from. Right after the game and for 24 hours, I feel like I had been punched right in the lower extremities, and it hurt. But I think, you know what, athletes they talk about and coaches, like the 24-hour rule, I've moved on now, and here's my perspective. I think the Lions fans need to learn what it is to be a really good team and just come up short. I mean, this is all brand new for us, and, you know, there's been some great teams. I think of Buffalo, for instance, who I think is almost a perennial playoff team. Over the last 30 years, they've been to the playoffs 11 times. So only one out of every 3 years. That was their second AFC championship game they went to in the last 30 years. So, you know, we've got to pay our dues. And remember the Wings when they would win those President Cups year after year after year,
yep,
fall short in the playoffs. It hurt all the time. But
did we lose you?
Now we should just get a rubber stamp. It's just not that easy, and all the analysis about the game, it's pretty simple. You know what? If you play the game with Washington and you play it even in turnovers, the Lions win that game. And we're going to be back, and here's the thing, too. I don't want 6-11. I don't want those days to come back, 8-9. So what do we got now? We got a regime and a culture that's going to be here.
Okay, we're having problems with your phone. Appreciate the call, Kevin, but look, they should be here to stay. Without a doubt, they should be here to stay. Without a doubt, they have a credible football team. You're right about Buffalo, though. Like, Buffalo is an example. It doesn't, just because you're really good, you're guaranteed nothing. I keep using San Francisco as an example because San Francisco has been right in our face in the NFC here. But maybe I should, you know, use Buffalo, too, because the Bills are sort of the benchmark for coming close but not finishing the deal. Like, how many people have had to deal with the losing that they've had to deal with?
As far as a historically franchise, yeah, of course. I mean, we all know about the empty Super Bowl trips they've gone through, but currently they have a really good team right now with a great quarterback, no Super Bowl, not even appearance, and throw the Ravens in there. They got maybe a 3-time MVP at quarterback. Can't get over the hump. Now, the AFC may just be in trouble because Mahomes is on that side.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was talking to Paul, who's screening calls for us today. Like, do you think Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen are on a thread going, dude, one of us has to take out Mahomes. Like, this is actually, like, he's stopping us, guys. And Burrow did it 1 year, and he ends up losing the Super Bowl. But, I mean, like I said, that they might have a Mahomes problem on the AFC side. As far as the NFC side, the Lions, you feel like you got set up for a big quote-unquote window, but yeah, nothing is guaranteed. No. Look at what can happen with injuries. Look at what can happen with a team like the Commanders coming out of nowhere being good. Like, so you can't take for granted where you're at. That's why you really got to capitalize when you get there.
Yep. And look, just look at our contracts. Look at the Lions' contracts. Look at the core of their talent. Step away from Detroit. Pretend you're a fan of some bad team. You would give anything to have what the Lions have. And we would have as well for years. You know, talked about organizations and teams we're jealous of. This is the first time people are jealous of us. This is the first time as an organization that we are getting picked over for any scraps that anyone can grab to try and mimic the Lions' success. And I understand that, and I would be doing the same thing. But the one thing that the unicorn that we have here, we've got two of them. One is we appear to have a draft ninja. I almost called him a Brad ninja. Sure, whatever works, we have a draft ninja. And two is we have a one-of-a-kind, kind of never-seen-before head coach. And this isn't a recent observation. This goes back to when he was hired. And people that were skeptical of Dan Campbell were looking for comps. And we started looking for comps. Who's come in like Dan Campbell and had that football? And let's face it, the way it came across was a bit, this is a football Neanderthal, this is a meathead. And we couldn't really come up with a comp, a big-time successful comparison. And it's worked. It's worked because of the authenticity. Man knows how to coach. The man gets his roster to perform for him. And so grabbing Ben Johnson makes sense. Grabbing Aaron Glenn makes sense. But they are really good position coaches. There's one Dan Campbell. And now you hear about in other towns, fan bases and media trying to compare what they have to Dan Campbell. And he's still here, and he's going to be here. And Brad Holmes is going to be here. Jonathan Gannon did a few things last year in Arizona, and people were jumping, oh, is this Dan Campbell? Is he channeling Dan Campbell? This is a lot like Dan Campbell. Which was weird for me to see, because I don't think he's anything like Dan Campbell, but people want to be like Dan Campbell. They want their coaches to be like Dan Campbell.
Doug, it was weird for me to see other teams try to poach our assistants and our coordinators. It's never happened before.
No.
You take a step back, and it was kind of surreal. Like, everyone wants Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn to interview, and then they go after the guys underneath, you know, the receivers coach, the D-line coach, the O-line coach. I'm like, what kind of bizarre world are we living in? But in the end, you're right. We got the one of one. The one of one is Dan Campbell. And he doesn't have to control a room. He controls a locker room. You know, he takes command of a locker room. He gets guys to buy in, execute, perform, maybe outperform what they're supposed to do, what their ceiling is. And so I feel confident that he can get the right coordinators like he did the last time and continue this thing going on. I do go back to nothing's guaranteed, but I feel confident with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell on top of this organization.
I mean, outside of Kansas City right now, you know, who would you rather be? I get you might say Philadelphia, and that might be being a prisoner of the moment. Nobody would have said that to, well, I shouldn't say nobody. Most wouldn't have said that 2 weeks ago, right? So, hey, in Philly, there's always a Sirianni question, even though it's hard to make an argument that he's a bad coach. But, you know, we're in a good spot. We're in a good spot. Now, does it change the way I had the time I had yesterday? Sure does. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Matt on a cell. You're next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, a couple things. One, I do feel that the interviews during the postseason are a distraction, mostly because, yeah, the interviews are only a couple hours, but you also have to do your research, you know, to see if you're a fit for the team, what their designs are. And that takes time, you know, time away from the coaches that could be devising a plan. So I feel like part of that interrupted the Lions' progress. I was at a bar watching the game and was chanting Jared Goff, but I didn't go nowhere. I got shut down. Second.
This was yesterday you were doing a Jared Goff chant?
I was in the bar. I was trying to chant it, but no one was with me. So I was like, all right, whatever.
Weird timing.
This is not a defense for Mahomes. This is not a defense for Mahomes. But I look at Mahomes just like we looked at Tom Brady. Tom Brady was in the Super Bowl every year. And I was sick of seeing Tom Brady. And now we're getting to the point where we're sick of seeing Mahomes. They're like the same player.
Yep.
I mean, eventually, it's going to come to an end, and the Lions will get their Super Bowl. I just hope it's really soon.
So, the one thing that's kind of fun, actually, I'll get in. The one thing about this Super Bowl matchup, something I'm really looking forward to. We will get to that today at 12:48. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey there, Lions fans, all season long at UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions. And what an epic season. Lions clinched back-to-back NFC North championships. Jahmyr Gibbs shattered rushing records. And to celebrate, right now, you can earn 4% on CDs. That's right. Secure your funds and watch your savings grow with confidence. Celebrate the Detroit Lions. 4% on CDs. Just become a member at umcu.org. It's quick. It's easy. I did it. You only need $1,000 to get started. It's umcu.org. Some restrictions apply. Doug Karsh, Gator out today. Champ and Chump do it every Monday. 248-539-9797. Okay, so this Super Bowl matchup, Philly and Kansas City. This is one of those games where I'm not sure that either team curries favor. They're both eminently dislikable. They've both had a ton of success. Their fan bases are both spoiled. And nauseating. They're easy to dislike. And so there's a couple of ways you can root for sports. One is you're rooting for a team or a player or someone you like. And the other is just the spiteful, hate-fueled root against a team. Sports hate. I use that term in context. You root against a team. This one, it's super easy to root against both. And this is where you get all your neutral observers to be rooting for a meteor strike. And that's, of course, ridiculous, but also fair. So how do you determine who you are rooting for in this game? Or what you want to happen in this game? And my guess is what I will want to have happen is some sort of, prop bet is what I'm going to end up rooting for. And I will take the game in. I always, though, root for the perfect script for me. Okay? What do I want for Doug? And you should be doing the same. What do you want for you? Both these teams are on the Lions' schedule next year. The Lions go to Philly and to Kansas City, which is pretty amazing, really, when you think about it. And I like beating the defending Super Bowl champion. I guess my perfect scenario includes ending the run of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, the Chiefs, if the Chiefs win this Super Bowl, I'm not going to root for them, but it sets up for the perfect script. And I'll give you an example. Weren't the Pistons championships of our lifetime, those of us that lived it, better because they had to beat the Lakers in two of the three of them? Those were kind of the perfect scripts. The Lakers are the team that's often in the conversation of, is it another Laker dynasty? And that adds to it. It's better to be the guy that's trying to end the dynasty. The first Bad Boy championship, when they beat the Lakers, it wasn't completely perfect. I wish they beat a fully healthy Lakers. When Magic got hurt, that series was essentially over. And while I celebrated it and loved it, it would have been more fun to take out a fully healthy Laker team. And I think they would have, but I have no way of knowing. Beating Portland wasn't a bad guy. Nobody hated Portland. Beating the Lakers, though, with Shaq and Kobe, that group, that was pretty damn satisfying, wasn't it? I want to beat Kansas City in the Super Bowl when Kansas City's going for a fourth in a row. And so I guess deep down, while I won't root for them, I think what sets up the best is Kansas City winning this game. I love that Detroit plays both these teams next year. They're guaranteed a game against the defending Super Bowl champ. That'll be a big game. I made a bold-ass prediction a month and change ago, the Lions were going to open the season in Brazil against a team from the AFC. And at the time I speculated it would be Cincinnati. I'll stand by it. And those games are reserved. Am I wrong here, Kang? Those games are reserved for non-Super Bowl champions or non-Super Bowl participants.
I don't know on that.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out. Anyway, so I guess I want Kansas City to win while not being able to stomach them winning. However, I don't know that I'll be able to stomach Philly winning either. And if Philly wins, maybe Detroit can return to a bit of an underdog role in the NFC. Because Philly would be coming back as the defending Super Bowl champs. So it sets up for a damn interesting 2025 Lions season. I hope that the one thing we warn against doesn't, you know, this isn't the year it breaks the mold. Because everybody looks at schedules at this time of year and goes, boy, that looks tough. Or boy, that looks easy. And then we'll get 2-3 weeks in the season and we'll roll our eyes. Why did we believe that again? And now Detroit, the schedule looks ridiculous in retrospect. At Kansas City, at Philly, at Washington, at Cincinnati, at Baltimore, at the Rams. Those are the six non-divisional games they were given?
It's actually incredible. And you know me, I'm the number one guy who says, don't look at strength of schedule because you don't know how good these teams are going to be.
Yep.
But also, you missed out at North Korea. What the hell the NFL did to the Lions with their road schedule next year is absolutely insane. To go on the road at North Korea, that's going to be tough.
They're going to the Vatican to play the Pope. Tough home field.
But seriously, though, Ravens, Eagles, Chiefs, road, Bengals, road. Like, you just named them all off. But that's Rams. That's a hell of a road schedule, man. As far as, you know, I think obviously winning any Super Bowl is special. And there's different levels of specialness, right? And you're talking about maybe taking out the Chiefs. For coping, we're talking about a lot of coping today, you know, how you watch football yesterday, if you watched at all. Do you think it'll be harder for Lions fans to stomach watching the Eagles win it because they might actually say, that should be us, then more than if the Chiefs win it, then that should be us? You know what I mean? Because if the Eagles win it, they're coming from the NFC.
Yeah.
And you feel like, hey, we would have played the Eagles at home. You know, all that comes into your mind. You start, you know, it starts snowballing in your head. Like, hey, that really could have been us.
Well, the thing about it is when we say should be us, understand, we understand you got to win the games to get what you deserve. But there was a path, a realistic path to the Super Bowl for a team of Detroit's resume, and it didn't happen. And so it maybe could be us is a better way to put it, so we don't, you know, get people worked up about, you know, the word should versus could. But it's so felt like it easily could have been us. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. Oh, we got a bunch of Pistons feedback. I want to get to that because the Pistons deserve some time today, and they are playing a game against the one seed in the East tonight, and I have a feeling the Pistons are going to take a big roundhouse punch early, come back and win this game. Here's the feedback from an unnamed texter. The Pistons may just be a consistent Assur jump shot away from being a real threat in the East. If he can just be respectable from three, it unlocks so much more for them. Next text. I think the Pistons already beat the over-under on wins for the season. Should have took that bet. Next text. The Pistons aren't amazingly better than last year. Last year, they had a coach doing a masterful job at trying to lose and get fired. I watched every single game, and I was mystified at the number of times late in the game when Monty would take a timeout and sit a hot hand, typically Jaden Ivey. Next text. From Ben at the Tire Shop. My champ is Cam Talbot for getting a shutout against a hot Tampa team. My chump is Alex Bregman for still not signing with a team. This is ridiculous. The Bregman story's weird, man. It's weird. I think I saw a reporting this weekend on Alex Bregman that I fully believe this is an agent trying to save face. There's a report from the Boston Globe this weekend that the Red Sox have interest in a deal, but they don't want it to be any more than 5 years. And the story went on to say that then later in Houston, Ari Alexander, reporter for KPRC, reported that the Astros offer still on the table, and reportedly at least three teams offered 5 years or longer. Okay. It's from a Houston reporter. Three teams offered 5 years or longer. I don't believe that. I think Scott Boras is telling people that there's multiple offers of 5 years or longer to try and get somebody to give his client, Alex Bregman, a longer term contract, because what they turned down from Houston has still been their best offer. Now, this is just rampant and irresponsible speculation, but but I believe it. 248-539-9797. All right, let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Mike on a cell here on 97.1. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Doug?
Hey.
We had a conversation on Labor Day. It was my buddy and I. We bet $1,000 for the Lions to win the Super Bowl. But these last two Sundays, I just lost my love for football. I'm watching a game, listening to music, and they were great games looking at them, but I felt like I was in a cloud and looking at Philly being in a Super Bowl. That should be us, but we win, we lose, right?
Well, they lost. I mean, there's just, it is yeah. what it is. They lost in a game that, you know, was a five turnover, my God, why did we help this team beat us kind of loss.
The only thing that really would have scared me was Philadelphia, because I still have reminiscences of Wilmot Brown's guarantee in the playoff game, and we knew what happened back in the day.
I'm sorry, did they scare you because of Lomas Brown's guarantee?
Oh, no, just what Philadelphia, the amount of points they could put up on the board against us. I could see we lost a playoff game, like, yeah. 51 or something. But
that really has nothing to do with today, but that's a rational paranoia, in my opinion. 248-539-9797. Get to more of your phone calls and feedback coming up. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.